Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Is an interview for the Brickmakers Oral History Project. The date is October 26, 2007. We're at Museum LA in Lewiston, Maine. This is Andrea Lumgier, and I'm interviewing Roger Bertrand. Could you start just by giving me your date of birth?
Yeah, 10/15/36.
And where were you born?
I was born in Auburn, Maine.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in New Auburn.
And what did your parents do?
My father worked for Country Kitchen. My mother worked in the shoe shop.
And how many kids were there in your family?
I was the only one in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how did you come to work in brickmaking?
Well, we were young in high school and we were looking to earn some money and brickmaking. We started working in the brickyards, and brickmaking was a way to make more money in the brickyard because we worked as an individual team. We did our own work. We worked by piecework, and we got paid by the amount of bricks we made.
Mm-hmm.
We used to make 10,000 bricks a day, and we worked 7 days a week as long as it wasn't raining.
Yeah,
and we could make more money that way than working by the hour in the yard. There was a lot of other guys that worked by the hour,
right,
in the yard, doing all kinds of various things like wheeling bricks and stuff like that. But we used to make the bricks. And like I said, we were our own boss. We'd make our bricks our quota for the day, and we'd fill our pit and pick up the previous day's bricks, put them in hicks, and then we were all done. We'd start about 5 in the morning, be done by noon.
And would you come back later in the
Sometimes
day?
Sometimes some of the would, instead of picking up their bricks right now, they'd come back later in the afternoon to pick up their bricks. Other times we'd do it all at once. We had to pick up, the bricks were laid down in the yard with the molds, and then they dry in the sun there. And like the next day that we'd come in, we'd make another 10,000 bricks, and then we'd pick up the previous day's bricks. We'd pick them up and put them in a, what we used to call it, a hick. It was just a straight pile of bricks, pile one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. Then the guys from the yard that work in the yard by the hour would come and get them with wheelbarrows. So we'd pick up our share. It was 3 of us. We'd work as a team. So we'd all have to pick up our share. It was about 3,300 bricks, you know, each. It went pretty fast. We used to have a, it was a kind of wooden thing that we used to lift the bricks up on the side, you know, and then we'd just take 5 bricks and 2 with this hand, take 5 and put them on our arm like this, and take 2 from this side, and we put them in a pile. Mm-hmm. Put these in a pile, put that in a pile. So most of the time, that was the hardest part about the job, was picking up the bricks. We hated to do that for some reason. We didn't mind making them or filling the pit. Filling the pit used to take an hour or two, just about. And we'd shovel the clay in a big box with water, and it would stay overnight and be all mucky in the morning, you know.
And then you add the sand after?
We would add the sand with the clay. We would be adding that in, shoveling it in the hopper. We'd have one guy, we would swap around, we'd be 3, just about every 1,000 that we would make. One guy would go up in the pit, he'd come down in the front, and there'd be 2 in the front, filling up the molds, put them on this wheelbarrow, we'd wheel them down. While one guy was laying the bricks down, the other one was filling his. So, and we were always running back and forth. We'd work in a bathing suit, barefoot. And we'd always be running back and forth. So when we start down on the end, it was a longer ways, you know, to go. Then we'd have to hurry back. Because the quicker you could get the the clay out of the machine, the better it was, because it wouldn't compact in the machine and be hard, you know. So if you could keep it going and keep it flowing, that's why we used to keep running back and forth. So I think we had 5 moles, if I remember right, on the wheelbarrow, 7 bricks a piece, I think. And they weighed about 60 pounds when they were full. And we would put that on there. We had a way of flipping them, putting them on the ground, and pull the slide, lift it up. And like I said, we'd swap around. That's where I learned to shovel both hands. I can shovel left hand or right hand. Because when we were in the pit, we had to shovel one way for this corner, and then the other corner, we had to swap around and shovel the other way. Especially when the pit was starting to get empty. You had to go way in the corner to get it. So you really had to shovel to keep up, you know, to keep up with the two guys in the front. So that's why we swapped around, you know.
Right, and so you had to really work as a team.
We had to work as a team, two in the front and one in the back, and swap around. And like the team that I worked with, Andy Poulin and Ray Labby, I worked with them, I can't remember now, it was 3 or 4 years with the same crew, you know. Mm-hmm. We got used to each other, you know, we'd work. And it was hard work. I remember I used to play football in high school, and I'd go to, when we get done in the fall, go to play football, the coach would be wondering how come we lost so much weight, you know. We'd lose about 15 pounds working like that in the full sun, you know, and 7 days a week if it didn't rain. I remember one summer there, it was like this summer, hardly rain. Mm-hmm. We were praying for rain to get a day off because it was so hard, you know. Well, we kept going. We'd get in shape, and it was good. It was good work. People don't work like that today, I'll tell you. It was hard work. Well, you figure, like, we do 10,000 bricks a day, and you handle those moles, all, you know, a good part of the morning. They're 60 pounds a piece, you know, lifting them up, putting them on a wheelbarrow, running down, unloading them, putting the empty ones, running back, filling them. And see what the clay, we wanted the clay at a certain consistency, because we had to jump on what we call a machete. And we'd put our mold into the machine, we'd lift the handle up, and the mold would go in the machine, and then we would jump on this, it's like a big pedal, we call it, you know. We'd jump on that, and that would press the clay in the mold, and then we'd pull back, and the mold would come back out. We'd have a little stick there, we would scrape the extra mud off it, and then we'd take that and put it on the wheelbarrow, take the next empty one, put it in there, lift it up, jump on the machete, pull back, you know. So we'd do that all day long, all summer long. It's hard work.
Yeah. Was it dangerous? Was that machinery?
No, it wasn't dangerous. No. There was no danger there that I know of.
Now, you said that after you hick the bricks, the people who worked in the yard put them in wheelbarrows. Is that when they took them to build a kiln?
Right. They took them to the end of the yard, and they had a conveyor there. And they put them on the conveyor, and there was some guys in the building to hick. Bricks would come up in the conveyor, and they'd pile them different ways, you know, crisscross them, pile them, and build what they call the kilns, you know. Yeah, 1 year, Dennis Brickyard, I can't remember what year it was, but it was a year we had hardly any rain. We worked so much. We had broke, me and Ray Labby and Andy Poulin, we had broke the record there. I think we had made about 1 million bricks, you know. So we had, it was quite a lot of work.
Were the owners visible during the day?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Dennis used to come around. We used to call him Old Man Dennis, but he'd come around every day and inspect the bricks. He'd walk down the rows, you know, we had 10 rows, right, of 1,000 bricks. We'd always make a few extras, too, you know, 50, 60, 100 bricks extra, because sometimes in those days they were very fussy. If there was a little round corner where it didn't compress hard enough, there was a round corner, he didn't like that. So he'd go down the rows and inspect the bricks, you know, and he'd let us know, you know, there's some bricks there that are bad. Today they'd sell any bricks, you know, but in those days they had to be four corners perfect, you know. So we'd make some extra bricks all the time just to make up for those bad bricks, you know. Oh yeah, he'd come around and inspect the bricks all the time.
Mm-hmm. Did he have sons working there too, or?
Yes, he did. One of them had a son. They had brothers. There were three brothers.
Oh.
The Dennis Brickyard, there were three brothers there. I remember William and Larry and I can't remember the third one's name. But anyhow, they worked there all their lives, you know, from the time they were kids. Too bad you couldn't interview them. They would be a lot of knowledge in the brickyards that they had, the dentists.
Yeah.
We were doing one segment of it, making the bricks, you know, we were concerned with that. And the rest of the brickyard was something else. But if I remember right, I think we used to get, I don't know if somebody, maybe Ralph would remember, Ralph Matei, but something like $30 a thousand split three ways, you know. So I think that's what we used to get. So we'd make like $10 a thousand.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include making the bricks, filling the pit, and picking up, you know. So in those days, that was good money, you know. $10,000 would give us $100, you know. $100 a day.
That is good.
In those days, you know.
Yeah, so this was in like the late 50s?
That was
mid to late,
yeah,
50s?
mid 50s. Yeah.
And you were there for 5 years?
Yeah. I kept going after high school. I did 2 more years after high school. I went to another school in Boston and I'd come back in summers and I'd still make breaks, you know. It helped pay for my schooling and it was good because even when we were in high school, we made enough money we didn't have to work the rest of the year, you know. Bought a car. And it was good. It was hard work, but in those days, for the money, that's what we were doing for, you know, mainly.
Yeah.
And we loved the hard work, too. We were all a bunch that liked to work hard and do physical work, you know.
And keep you in shape.
Oh, yeah, we were in shape out there. Great shape then.
Yeah. Were there others that worked in the brickyard that you got to know over time that you could describe or recall?
Yeah, there's some people that used to work in the yard. Bob Martin was one of them. I don't know if you ever interviewed him. He worked in the yard. And he went, one year, when Ralph and I, when we were making bricks, I think we were making bricks with Andy Pullen, and Andy left early that fall to go to school, and I think Bob Martin came and shoveled the pit. You've talked to him or not.
Not yet.
Harvey knows who he is. Yeah. I remember him. Some of the others I don't remember. They hired a lot of people to work in the brickyard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we were a team and we did our job and we didn't associate too much with the rest, you know. Yeah, we worked at Dennis there several years. We did 1 year at Marin, I think.
Do you remember a father and son who worked there together? I think they were woodsmen in the winter.
Yeah, they was. Bonson? Bonson?
I can't remember the
name. Yeah, old man Bonson and his son used to work in the brickyard. They made bricks. See, there was brickyards in Yarmouth, Auburn, Dennis, and Marin. There was some in Reedfield. There was some all over, you know. Mm. And there was brickmakers everywhere, you know. So whoever paid the most, that's where we'd go, you know. Yeah. Because 1 year we tried to go up to Sydney, that's where it was, Sydney. And we didn't like it very much over there, even though we were making more money. We were living in a camp. And we weren't eating right, you know. And working hard, and just, it was, terrible conditions. Used to go wash in the river down there, in the Kennebec River. So it wasn't good condition, but Dennis was good. We worked down there, and Marin was good. Marin was different because when we worked at Marin, they were putting them in the racks then. And we would put the molds on the pallet, and the pallets would be down in the racks. And there was some guys working in the racks, putting them in the racks. It wasn't being put on the yard. It was all covered over. So we didn't have to pick up the bricks, so we liked that, you know. So all we do is fill the pit and make the bricks there. And we didn't have to run down the yard. We'd just fill the mold. We'd work back to back. One guy was filling the mold. The other one was just dumping it on the conveyor.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you dump it on the conveyor, you turn around, and he would turn around. He would put it on the conveyor, and I would fill the mold up. So that was... We did that for 1 year, I think.
Were you able to make more bricks a day that
yeah,
way?
Yeah, you made more bricks a day because you just kept moving, kept making the bricks.
Yeah.
The guy in the pit really had to shovel, too, because to keep up, you know. Yeah. I have a picture, one of the pictures. I don't know where those pictures are, but there was me and Ray and Andy together with a picture at the Marin Brickyard. Somewhere there, she's got it. Rachel's got them. You might want to look at them.
Yes, hopefully it will be in the exhibit.
Yeah, it'd
be nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about your experience brick making that you think we should add?
I can't think of anything. I do remember we in the morning, like when we started in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was pretty cold. The water was cold, but once we got going, it was pretty nice. Like I said, we worked in a bathing suit all day long.
And I've heard in the spring, sometimes you had to crack the ice
a little bit on the water.
Yeah,
that's right. I remember that in the spring or in the fall.
Yeah.
We didn't work when it rained. We worked right up in the fall till. Frost, you know, we couldn't work anymore. In the spring, it was usually the rains that would stop us, you know. Because if it rained on the bricks when they were flat on the ground, it would sprinkle them all up, and they would call that wash brick, you know. They would still use it, but they call that wash brick. But seconds, they didn't like that.
And so, did you make exclusively wire-cut bricks, or did you?
No, water struck.
Water struck.
Water struck. When I first started in the brickyard, Dennis used to make wire-cut bricks. They had a machine there where they make wire-cut bricks, and you had to wheel them in the racks. But we were making water struck. That's what they called it then, because we would flip our molds. We had a big wooden tub next to the machine. I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 feet long, and 18 inches wide or something, and it was full of water all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When we came back empty, we would take the empty mold and flip it in the water, kind of just flick it in the water to get wash it a little bit, you know, flick it in the water. That's why they call it water struck. And we would throw our mold into the machine, and there we would lift it up in the machine and then jump on the machete, the big pedal.
Yep.
And that would press the clay in. And then we'd do that with the next one. We kept flipping our molds in the water. It was all... We did it so many times that it was just automatic. Everything was automatic. Grab the mold, flip it, throw it in the machine, lift the handle, jump, you know. It was done that fast, you know. And then we'd just throw it back, and we'd throw them on there and put the next one in. And then when we'd run them down in the yard, it was automatic there too. We just had, that's where we'd pick up the speed, is in dumping the molds. You had to take the mold and flip it. You know, a 60-pound mold, just took it, flip it, put it on the ground, pull the slide up. Lift the mold up, throw it back on empty, put it to the next one. It took a while to learn how to, you know, really be good at it, you know.
Yeah, because so you didn't mess up the bricks.
Didn't mess up the bricks, and you do speed too, you know. So you don't want to do this too slow, you know. It took us a while to learn it, but once we learned it, we got good at it.
Well, 60 pounds is kind of hard to manipulate.
Right.
Just right.
To take that mole. You really have to see it to believe it. We just took the mole off the wheelbarrow. Mole was on the wheelbarrow like this, a little bit lower than this. We would slide it and tip it, you know, slide it off the mole and just go like that. And it would just flip and put it on the ground. We didn't really handle the whole weight. It's not like if you took it, you just turned it.
Right.
There you'd be, after 1,000 bricks, your back would be dead, you know. We just had a way of doing it. Just flip it, put it on the ground, and then you pull the slide, and the bricks would stay there. You'd lift them all up, throw it on you. We'd never stand up. We'd always be bent over to go and back up, bent. You know, you'd put one mole down on the ground, back up, another mole down on the ground, you'd never stand up. That way you're always moving.
Yeah.
It was the same way when we did them on the machine. I remember that. That took some time to learn how to do that. But once you got that, you picked up speed, and then we could really make the bricks faster, you know.
Yeah.
The quicker we made our quarter of bricks and got out, the better we liked it, you know. Oh, I remember when I first started, the first years, at the end of the day, I'd go home and I was so tired. I'd just fall asleep in a chair or on a couch or anything. I had to have a break, you know. But then as the summer went along, you get getting tougher and more in shape. It wasn't quite as bad, but it was hard work. Yeah, a lot of brick makers were people that worked in the woods in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they work in the woods in the wintertime, they make bricks in the summertime. But us, me and the crew there, we did it. We were going to school and then making bricks, you know.
And I heard some people did the mills in the winter, worked in the mills.
Some of them did,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about all I can remember
about
making bricks.
So, well, did you go on to different sort of career that you wanted after brick making?
Yeah, I went to school in Boston. I went into electrical.
Oh.
And I started off working as an electrician after I went to school for a couple of years. That's when I finally quit making bricks. I still made bricks while I went to school in Boston, but then after I got done my schooling, I started working as an electrician. And that's when I finally stopped making them. I worked for an electrician for a number of years, and then I went into teaching, and I finished my career at the Central Maine Community College now. And I taught school there. I retired from there in the electrical electronic field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I went from brick making to electrical. How do you figure that?
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, I'm glad to.